It's time to spin the big wheel of Babel and see where we land today. Chances are pretty good it's going to be stupid people, bad government, or hey, what do they actually make bologna out of anyway? And why is it so expensive? It's just how we do things here on the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, please sit down. You're embarrassing me with the standing ovation. Please sit down. Hey, welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person to whom they refer to in the title. Great to be with you. It's a pleasure of mine to be with you. I want nothing better to do in life than to spend my time with you. I like radio because they're anonymous relationships. We have something in common. We bond, but we never meet and we never talk, and I don't have to know anything about you or hear any of your boring, ridiculous stories that have nothing to do with me whatsoever. All right, that'll do it. How are you? How you doing today? Feeling all right? Are you really? No? Well, why'd you lie to me then? I know it's something you say when anybody says to you, how you doing? You just normally say, I'm doing okay. But you're really not. But nobody really cares. You know that. Why even bother? Unless you want to get it off your chest or your ankles or your feet. I have no idea. In any event, welcome to the show. I have a very interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. He's written a book called Crab Wars. He's going to talk about crabs. Hey, don't go to Bermuda and sit on a cheap hotel toilet seat. That's all I can tell you. That's how you avoid them. Not that kind of crab. The kind of crabs that walk around the beach. Those little spider-like lobster things. We eat those, don't we? Well, I do. They're tasty. Not when they're walking around. They have to be properly prepared. I must prepare to eat those little crabs. Eating crabs, I don't know. Sounds like something I'm going to need some lotion for or some kind of ointment or cream. Anyway, welcome to the program. That'll give you an idea of what you're in for. Now, it's very interesting. We're talking about the crabs. And I'll tell you, they are not what you think they are. There's some little-known secrets about those crawly crab things that come out of the ocean. You'll be quite amazed. I am quite certain in saying that in that regard. Every once in a while, I'll go to a restaurant for lunch. I don't know why. I guess I'm not having enough lard or fat in my food at home, so I go to a restaurant. It's a social event. I don't like to talk to people, but at the same time, I don't mind seeing them around me as long as they don't interact. And every once in a while, I'll have a sandwich. When did lunch sandwiches end up being $14, $15 for lunch? That's a lot of money for a sandwich. It wasn't long ago. A sandwich was like $6, $7 or something. There's a gas station near me. I think it's called Irving's. No, I'm not going to go there. It's called Irving's. Nice gas station. Inside, they have a little convenience store, as many gas stations do these days. And they advertise that they have the lobster roll for $20. And I'm thinking, I don't think that's a good price. A little roll with lobster in it, $20. I think I can do better with my money. I'm not sure. I'm not addicted to lobster in that sense. I don't shoot it up. I mean, it's nice if I can get it, but I ain't paying $20 to have a couple of pieces of tiny lobster bits put on a hot dog roll. I'm sorry, not in my camp. And then I'm thinking, man, what have we come to? $20 lobster rolls at a gas station. Could I ever tell anybody that? If I liked the lobster roll, could I ever say to someone I know, you got to run down to the Irving gas station. Their lobster rolls are incredible. They would put me away in some type of a mental institute. Anyway, I went into this restaurant, Northern Italian food. I have no idea what that means. To me, Italian food is lasagna, that kind of stuff. This place didn't have that. Had Northern Italian food, and I don't know what that means. There's pasta, but not the kind that we eat here in this part of the planet. So I don't know. I just don't know. But I think they just put garlic in everything, and they say, okay, now it's Northern Italian. If it's got garlic, it's Northern Italian. Oh, okay. You must be single. You must not be dating if you're eating that much garlic, because that's offensive. Anyway, so I'm ordering the sandwich, and I get a sandwich. It was a chicken salad sandwich in a Northern Italian restaurant. I know. It's like lobster rolls at a gas station. And I said to the server, I said, what does the sandwich come with? And she said, it comes with fries. Oh, okay, fine. And a pickle. Did you say it came with a pickle? Yes, I did. Oh, my God. Somehow, that excites me. And I don't know why. I know that the fries and the sandwich and the pickle are all on the same plate. They come under the same price. But when someone says it's going to come with a pickle, I feel like I'm getting a bonus. I don't know why. What is it about that little cucumber thing that excites me? No, don't go there. The pickle, man. It's the pickle. Do you know pickles are very low in calories? The vinegar is actually very good for you. That's what I read. Now, I don't know if it's a fact. I'm not spreading disinformation here, but pickles are low in calories. They can be high in sugar if you get the wrong kind of pickle, but otherwise not so bad. But it's exciting. And then when the plate came with the chicken salad sandwich and the fries, my focus was on that pickle. There it is. They talked about the pickle. They said it was coming, and damn it, there it is, lying right next to my sandwich, dividing my sandwich and my French fries is the pickle. Now, here's how I approach this. I ate half the sandwich, started eating the fries. Bad move. The fries will eventually make you sick, if not right away, in about an hour. They're not good for you. And then I finished the rest of the chicken sandwich, and my plate was basically empty, except for the pickle. And I stared at the pickle, and the pickle stared at me. Now, I don't know if it was a half sour, full sour, dill, kosher, blessed by a rabbi. I have no idea. Oh, yeah. Did you know that's what happens with kosher pickles? They have to call in a rabbi.
Rabbi, yes, could you come over right away? We're serving pickles for lunch with the sandwich. And they're not kosher unless you come over and bless them.
Oh, gee, not again. What the hell is wrong with you? Why can't I bless a lot of pickles at once? Why do you call me and individually make me bless pickles? Stop it. Stop calling me up. I'll do it over the phone. Yeah, your pickles are blessed. Now get the hell out of here.
Like rabbis got nothing better to do but bless food. Is it kosher? The rabbi was busy. He had a dental appointment. They're not kosher today. Well, I'm not eating it. I'm not eating that. I am not eating that pickle. unless it's blessed by a rabbi. So there I am with the piggle. Dramatic music again, please. And I started biting into this pickle. It was like a dessert, really. It was the last thing I ate on the plate, and I started biting into it, and it just, I don't know what was so special about it. It's just, I think it just was built up. Yeah, you know, it's like that in life, you know, that something is built up so much. This is the best. This is the best you've ever had. Oh, you got to try this, Ron. You got to try it. It's incredible. And then there it is in front of you, and you take a bite, and the immediate reaction is one of two things. Either those people are nuts, this is no big deal, or, oh my God, this pickle is incredible. Oh, come on. I've told this story before. Our announcer and comedian on the show, a writer, John Shanahan, he invited me over to an interesting little eclectic restaurant in Whitman, Massachusetts. And we sat down, and he ordered the fried pickles appetizer. On the menu, it said for the appetizers, there were mozzarella sticks and all that kind of stuff, you know, shrimp, cocktail shrimp, and fried pickles. And he says, and he ordered the fried pickles from the server. And I said, John, is there something wrong with you? Why would you eat a fried pickle? He said, Ron, are you serious? This is great. These fried pickles here are incredible. I said, I didn't know they're fried pickles incredible anywhere. I've never heard of. Why would you fry a pickle? Why wouldn't you? Oh, good argument. Nice. Head of your debate team, I'm sure. Well, the fried pickles came. Didn't look really special to me, except for the fact they looked like fried pickles. And he said, Ron, try one. And I did. And I got to tell you, it wasn't bad. End result, I never had a fried pickle again in my life. Not a big deal. But very popular. And that's when I started to realize, after decades and decades of being alive on this planet, that the things that I like, other people don't necessarily like. How's that possible? I don't know. I thought everything I liked, everybody else liked. I thought everything I didn't like, obviously nobody else likes it either. I found out that's not the case with people. And that's when I decided to start alienating other human beings. I'm kidding. This is a performance. That's not the way I really feel, necessarily. Anyway, my guest joins us now. let's say hello. William Sargent joins us now. He's author of Crab Wars, and if that sounds a little odd to you, it's really not that odd. How you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you very much.
This is Crab Wars, a tale of horseshoe crabs, ecology, and human health. Many of us only know crabs from either staying in a bad hotel in Bermuda, or enjoying a good meal. But boy, they have other benefits, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think we're all, if you come from around here in New England and you go down to the Cape, you see them all over the beach.
Yeah.
They kind of look like a Steven Spielberg, the sort of thing that his soldiers might be advancing on you, and they're kind of a tank-like organism.
Yes. Yeah, I look at them as small, oddly shaped lobsters, because to me they taste about the same, actually even a little bit better. But is the horseshoe crab different than other crabs?
Actually, they're not crabs at all.
Ah.
They're more, their closest relatives are spiders.
Interesting. Ugh.
That's
not good to know, but okay. Are crabs becoming more popular for eating and that kind of thing?
In general, I guess, yes, certainly other crabs are, but not horseshoe crabs. As a matter of fact, You know, fairly often I'm asked to give recipes in these sort of, you know, celebrity cookbooks.
Yeah.
And so I give a recipe for horseshoe crab chowder. And, you know, you cut up the potatoes and the onions. And by the time I get down to saying you add a pound of crow meat, then I think people figure out they've been spoofed. They are horrible tasting.
Okay. All right. A strange fact that they sent me here, and I need some clarification. The COVID-19 vaccine and horseshoe crabs, what could they possibly have in common?
Well, right now, all of the COVID vaccines and all the antibody tests and all the syringes and the vials and anything that's going to come in contact with your blood system has to be checked to make sure that it's free of bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they do that is with the horseshoe crab test. So it's a multi-million dollar industry that most people don't know anything about. But everybody listening to this program's lives have been protected by horseshoe crab blood.
Wow. If you've been vaccinated. Which is...
But even before that.
Oh, it's been tested in previous situations as well then.
Yeah, well, and it's sort of the standard test for what they call pyrogens in a hospital setting. These are gram negative bacteria.
Yeah.
And what they do is you separate your bacteria into gram positive bacteria and gram negative bacteria, depending on a dye test that was invented by a Dr. Graham. And so if you come up with various diseases like spinal meningitis, E. coli are caused by these gram negative bacteria, and that's what you've got to make sure you don't have contaminating your vaccines.
Wow. And this is specific to the horseshoe crab?
Yes, it's only the horseshoe crab that produces this. It's a brilliant blue copper-based blood, unlike our iron-based blood, of course, which is red. This has a really quite beautiful cobalt blue to it.
Really?
And what they do is they extract this and dry it out so that you have a white powder, and then they reactivate that white powder and use it to test each vat of vaccine. So they're not actually testing each individual dose of vaccine, but they're testing it in the manufacturing process where they're doing hundreds or even thousands of doses at a time.
You know, as soon as you start introducing pharmaceutical companies to this thing, you start to get maybe some abuse involved. In other words, is the horseshoe crab protected from extinction because we're using it for testing so much?
The horseshoe crabs are declining up and down the East Coast, and that's both because they're used for what's called the lysate industry. Which is the biomedical use of horseshoe crabs, but they also use them for bait. So if you keep a horseshoe crab alive and use it for biomedical purposes, each crab is worth about $1,500. If you chop it up and use it for bait, it's worth about 30 cents a pound.
Yeah.
And this is what they were doing. And kind of to give you an idea of some of the corners that were cut and the chicanery that was going on, I interviewed the chief scientist of one of the companies that makes the lysate, and he always assumed that that everything was kosher with the way that they were collecting the crabs and returning them back to the wild, because again, theoretically you should be able to go out, catch the crabs, bring them into the lab, bleed them, and then return them back to the wild with no mortality.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't kill them necessarily. It doesn't affect the population. That's the way it's supposed to be.
That's the way it's supposed to be. under industrial conditions, sometimes the trucks won't show up and the crabs will be left out in the sun, and you can get up to 50% mortality. So anyway, the chief scientist of the company figured that they were doing everything the way they should be. But one day their truck driver was sick and didn't show up. So he and another guy said, well, we'll take the truck and we'll return the crabs. And they returned them to the collecting facility. And when they drove up, there was a whole line of fishermen in their trucks. And they asked them, you know, what are you guys doing here? And they said, oh, we're waiting for the crabs. So what had been going on is they would bleed the crabs for lysate, and then they would turn around and sell them to the fishermen for bait. So you were going from what should have been, 100% sustainable fisheries to 100% mortality.
I gotcha.
And you know, even the chief scientist, that the company was keeping that information from the chief scientist.
Has anything been done about it, or is that the way it is now?
There have been a couple federal court cases. There was one down on Cape Cod where the Cape Cod National Seashore all of a sudden realized, this was back in 2000, they realized that people had been collecting horseshoe crabs illegally in the seashore for the past 20 years, but nobody had realized it. So they were really quite embarrassed about the whole thing. So they reinstated the ban, and then the collectors and the companies sued them, and the National Seashore won the case. But just to give you an idea of the enforcement of these sorts of things, the director, the head of the Cape Cod National Seashore, said, "Well, you know, what are we going to do? Chase these guys in our pursuit canoes? there just aren't people out there checking on things all the time." So, I was actually down on the Cape about 2 weeks ago, and what I do every year is I count the number of crabs along a 100-foot line, and in normal times, you would find about 200 or 300 shells of horseshoe crabs. What the horseshoe crabs do is they molt, so they leave these little empty shells behind. And the shells of a one-year-old crab are about the size of your thumbnail. And so you should be seeing, 200 or 300 of these crabs. I was only seeing two.
Two?
Per 100 feet. So I think what is happening is that because the demand for the lysate has increased so much, they're starting to collect the crabs in the shallow waters where they're laying their eggs.
I see.
And what they're doing is they're removing the large female crabs because they prefer those for the bleeding because they have more blood.
Right.
But you're removing them from the breeding population.
Oh, my.
So what was happening is it looked like the bay was in good shape because there were a lot of adult crabs. But what you didn't see is that it was missing all the next generation of horseshoe crabs. And I think there's sort of another little wrinkle to this. And that is a scientist in Singapore has developed a method where you use gene splicing to make an artificial form of lysate that you don't have to use live crabs for.
Good.
And this is a step forward, but the Food and Drug Administration didn't approve it because they didn't want to switch horses in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Because we have 30 years of information, working with the natural form of lysate, and it's been very effective. But we only have a couple years of trials on the artificial one. So I think eventually the artificial lysate will be accepted, but
not right now.
Not right now. Yeah. And when they do, the industry will come to an end, and the fisheries will come to an end, And the horseshoe crabs will have another million years or so to recover.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we're going to have a million years or so.
Probably not. Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
If I were Jimmy the Greek, I think I would put my money on the
horseshoe crab.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Only I don't think we'll be around to collect on the bet. That's
right.
That's the problem. Yeah, you know, to every great thing, there is a major downside, I have learned. I learned that when the internet came out.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah. This is a fascinating book. It's being released on September 1st, I understand?
That's right.
Okay. The full name of the book is Crab Wars, A Tale of Horseshoe Crabs, Ecology, and Human Health. And it'll be available on the first. How can people find out more about this? Have you put together a website for this?
They can go to williamsargent.net. The book is being was published by Brandeis University Press.
Cool.
And is being distributed by the University of Chicago Press.
Wow. Yeah, there's actually more to it, and it's in the book. So if you this shows you interest here, that you should dig into it. I'll spell your last name because it's spelled a little bit differently. It's William Sargent, Sargent, and .net, and you'll get that information there. Hey, this has been fascinating. I appreciate your time with us today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do this. I seriously don't. I don't know how you sit in one place for a period of time while I'm talking at you. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I'm thankful nonetheless. By the way, what's a booby trap? What the hell is that? I don't want to think about what that actually is. It's an odd phrase, isn't it? Booby trap. Ow. Is that when you go into the doctor and they check your, is that what that is? Is that when you put it in the vice, you know, and they check, you know, is that what a booby trap is? See, I don't know. I still don't understand what a booty call is. I've never gotten one. Maybe it's blocked on my cell phone. I don't know, but I've never received one on my phone. I don't know how to unlock it. I don't know what a booty call is. Is a booty the rear end of a human? And why would you call about that? And why would you try to gather them all in one spot? I don't understand it. I could look it up. I could Google it. I could ask somebody to clarify its definition. But to be honest with you, I have better things to do with my life. I know you might find that to be amazingly awkward, but it's true. I hooked up with an old friend on Facebook Messenger. She's a great friend. It was decades and decades and decades ago when I was living in Manhattan. And we started reminiscing about the past. I was the manager of a movie chain in New York. I'll talk about it some other time. And she was actually a relative and also worked with the chain. And we were just reminiscing. And then I realized I don't remember as much as I thought I did. And that's odd. It's just, you know, when you go back in time, you think that you remember everything. I don't think I do. I met a man way back who he was a senior. He was in his 60s or 70s or something, or even older. He was able to recall what he had for dinner on any given day, and he would work what he had for dinner into his stories of the past. So I went to work and I met this man who was very, very impressive. And then I went home and I had dinner. There was meatloaf with the mashed potatoes, green beans. Yeah, they were green beans. It could have been wax beans. No, they were green beans. And he said, wow, you've worked into the story what you had for dinner 50 years ago. I wish I had a memory like that. I wish my memory was that sharp. And then I realized, no, I don't. I don't want to remember everything. I don't think everything is worth remembering or is necessarily a good memory to have. I think there's a little, I can't remember the name of it. Oh, great. You can't remember the name of it. A good demonstration of memory. There's some over-the-counter thing, and it improves your memory. I can't remember the name of it. Isn't that ironic? If I was taking the drug that I can't remember the name of, I could probably remember the name of it, but I can't take the over-the-counter thing because I can't remember the name of it. Apparently, it improves your memory if I can remember to buy it. All right, that's about it for today. I'll be back again soon with a brand new show the next time a weekday rolls around. But until that time comes, take care of yourself, will you please? I wish you peace.